welcome to the Countdown Podcast. This week we're reviewing the Book of Boba Fett for you. My name's Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then for this American space western television series created by Jon Favreau.
It is a space western.
Yeah, for the Disney Plus network. It is, of course, part of the Star Wars franchise based on George Lucas's original films. Stars Tamira Morrison and Ming-Na Wen and a whole bunch of other people, which would be spoilers to say even. 7 episodes, which stretch from December 29th through to about early February 2022. And that's probably all the technical bits and pieces I can give to you. The episodes are what? They're very varied. Like some are like 38 and some are like an hour.
And you can do that now. Imagine trying that during TV time.
Isn't it great? I love the fact you have the freedom to do that. Now, Wayne, what is it about?
The Book of Boba Fett is about, well, Boba Fett. And he, from his last adventures with the Mandalorian season, he has now broken off onto his own with his faithful sidekick, what's her name?
Fennec Shen.
Fennec Shen. And they are looking, they go back to...
Shen?
I want to say Shen.
Shand.
Ah, cool. Yes, of
course. Both wrong.
Right. So basically, in this series, they are navigating the galaxy's underworld when they return to Tatooine to try and stake their claim on that Jabba the Hutt-like area because his ass dead. That's the show.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot more to it, but that's the show supposed to be.
There is. And I have a lot of thoughts about this show.
I'm very interested
in the whole thing in the last week.
I that's the best way to... I reckon
never got around to it and managed to watch bang, 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 bang over 4 or 5 nights. And that's an interesting experience as well. Well, we will see. Let's just give a very general impression. And I know we don't normally do this, but then just go, bam, we're going to spoils after this. Because it's too hard to
stick around and
tiptoe around the bits and pieces of this show. If you're listening to it, we hope you've seen it. If you haven't, we're just going to give you whether you should or shouldn't and then go from there.
Cool.
Wayne, what is your overall impression of The Book of Boba Fett?
Initially, first few episodes, very impressed with just them showing us what is supposed to be lore about how in the comics or the canon or whatever, they say, you know, Boba Fett, how is he still around after Han Solo accidentally killed him in the most bitch-like manner in Return of the Jedi? You know, knocks him in the fucking... and then he goes into the Sarlacc pit. I'm like, well, that's the ad. Okay. All those things are great. The actual show itself, this is probably the most richest fan service I've seen. It was everything but the kitchen sink. They're throwing things at you didn't expect in there. What the fuck? This is supposed to be the virgin series of this thing. You typically step a bit lightly and try and... Nope, they're giving you shit that all Star Wars fans love, all right? A lot of people have a problem with this show because of a specific decision that it makes.
You need to be very careful here.
Of course.
Again, just general impressions.
And I'm saying to you that while I did bump into it a bit, ultimately, it's brilliant. A lot of people are shitting over this show. I love it. I think it's actually really great. A lot of people are pissing and moaning about a lot of crap. And the truth is, you didn't stop watching because it's still fucking exciting to watch. It's not perfect.
God, no.
It's not perfect at all right? But it's well worth your time as a Star Wars fan.
Quick question then. In the non-spoiler section. Better or worse than the Mandalorian series?
No, not as good as the Mandalorian.
Okay. Right. That's fine.
But not bad.
Okay. My general reaction with this caveat is Rotten Tomatoes rating has a 72% based on 192 reviews as positive. And Metacritic has 59 out of 100 positive score overall based on 19 critics. I'm right in line with Metacritic. It's got some great moments. I overall enjoyed my experience. But gee, there's a lot of problems with this show, especially given the title character in it.
Yep.
It doesn't work as a show on its own. And it needs to be propped up by other factors, which I think is a weakness in the writing and the conception of the show.
Mm.
There you go.
Do you recommend it to a Star Wars fan?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Of course, right?
Yeah, you watch this show. Why wouldn't you? Especially coming off the strength of The Mandalorian, which went from strength to strength for seasons 1 and season 2. But this is nowhere near in the ballpark of those two shows.
Let me ask you something else then. Given that we're all, fellas and we've seen Star Wars and we've grown up with Star Wars, now you got this new bunch of kids coming in. They might be 15 to 18 or whatever, right?
They could be 10.
Right.
Or 8 or 7.
Right. So they probably saw the motherfucking the sequels first, right? Mm-hmm. Or who knows, right? I don't know. Do you think they would have as big a problem with this given that they don't have the rich history we have?
No kid's going to have as big a problem as we have as, dare I say the word, critics.
Yeah.
Dare I say people who analyze what they're watching. Absolutely. And try and look at it from a how does it hold together point
sure,
of view.
Sure, sure, sure.
So, no.
Okay. So, all right. Fair enough. I think, yeah. Good. All right.
And when I was 12, I liked everything.
So did I.
Virtually.
Man, anything that had the word ninja attached to it, I would shit my pants.
Ninja 3, : The Domination.
I saw all those shitty movies. Oh, God. Anyway, so yes, I agree with you. Harder to please now.
All right, then. Well, let's get into it then. On the other side of spoilers, where we really do unpack the 7 episodes of The Book of Boba Fett.
You can't handle the truth.
Well, the truth is, clearly we have reverted to type, I think, because clearly you're going to give it a much higher score than I'm going to give it. Boy, I have some problems with this show. And boy, there are some great moments in it too.
Yeah, that's the thing, okay? Now look, like I said, it's spotty, right? It's got
absolutely
it's spotty, right? However, the characters in this show that it shows you, the access it gives you to certain Luke is in this. I didn't expect fucking Grogu in this.
I certainly didn't expect Grogu, the Mandalorian.
Now, I will tell you this. Whatever episodes, it basically becomes the Mandalorian for two episodes, right?
Yeah, episode 5. So at the end of episode 4, there's a stinger where Fennec says, well, you can buy a muscle that you need.
Exactly.
And it just gives a little bit of the Mandalorian theme.
Yeah, exactly.
And people are just like, oh my God, my erection is so, or my
there's a little bit of that going on with me, I can tell you, right? Then they go to and make it the Mandalorian for two episodes. Now, I said, what the fuck? This is the Mandalorian, right?
Well, this is a problem with the show. Yeah. It's not strong enough to stand on its own. It's just not, unfortunately.
I'll probably go ahead with it. You know what the problem is? And this, I said this around episode 4. I said, this show's problem is it doesn't have a baby Yoda or a baby Grogu.
But
right?
We can't have a Grogu slash baby Yoda in every Star Wars.
I don't mean actual. No, you need something to care about. The problem with this show is Boba Fett is, I don't know if him being a good guy is that interesting. Do you know what I mean? Like when he was the mysterious.
Yeah? The problem with the show is, why is Boba Fett a good guy?
Okay, so here's the idea. And I've delved into this like a bitch, right? The idea I believe that they're trying to go with this is that, okay, so Boba Fett survives his Sarlacc thing. And by the way, it's cool that they showed him getting
first
out.
Scene.
First scene. Really, oh my God, they showed us he's getting out.
They answered the question.
So he gets out. Now, he spends whatever disparate amount of time with the Tusken Raiders. Now, the Tusken Raiders, this is what's great about the film. They were always a joke. They were always an afterthought. They were the butt of a joke. It's like,
yeah. That's it. And exactly just, what was in
right?
my head. Yeah.
Exactly, right? This show now goes, oh, you know what? Let's show you that they have a culture and they're not just assholes who shake a stick. So now, Jon Favreau is like, no, let's make them the actual focus of this and show you that they have a culture. Now, that's cool. Then Boba Fett joins them motherfuckers. And then he spends however long being a prisoner, defeating it, getting their respect, earning their ways, becoming...
Good arc. Enjoy that, fine.
In that time...
Problem is, what's happening in present day?
No, here's what it is. The reason for present day is that in that time, he saw how these trained people would take pot shots at them and their animals. He saw how they were oppressed, and he learned that, no, hang on, I was one of these people. So now he's come back and says, I'm going to now fix my ways.
What's the term? Is it doyen or something?
Doyen, meaning expert?
What was the terminology they used for what Jabba apparently was? Oh. I just thought Jabba was a crime lord who ruled through despotic means on Tatooine.
I thought that was too.
No, but they used the term over and over again for...
Oh, but it's like Capo. It's like...
I guess so. Whatever
like
it is.
Don. It's like Don.
Okay, so it's like Don. Yet, the way they're sort of saying it, like he's meant to be a protector, he's meant to be a good guy, I didn't quite understand that.
You mean Jabba?
Well, no, Boba Fett, when he assumes the role, having killed...
Yeah, his idea is that...
Do we miss how Bib Fortuna got knocked... that wasn't in the show.
How he got into power?
Yeah.
They had this scene where he said, when this happened, Bib Fortuna, there were these... You know, they basically, with that diagram, that hologram diagram, they talked about the politics of how Bob...
But did we... Why would we see that?
Why wouldn't we see that?
Yeah, why wouldn't we see? Because Bib Fortuna took over from...
Because then it becomes the Book of Bib Fortuna.
No, for one scene where we just see how he gets disposed or killed or whatever.
But... Do you know what I think? Because if you wanted to do that, you'd probably do it in almost a sort of a montage type. If you want to just get rid of it and say, okay, we're going to give you one scene to explain how this shit happened, right? According to one of the directors of this show, the art directing rule of the show is we don't move a camera, we don't push anything, we don't put a thing in the scene... If we haven't said to ourselves, how would George set up this shot? That's what they said.
Which might explain for some of the shitness of some of the shots.
Well, honestly, yes. But I honestly think that's a really good thing. From a brand point of view, when you give people the execution they are used to, people are going to like it more, one would think. So that's why I think they didn't do a montage thing. They're just trying to get you into it. They can't waste
I don't want half an hour. I just wanted like... So what? How did Boba ascend to the throne?
Oh no, they showed the end of the Mandalorian.
Did they?
Fortuna was there and they just fucking killed his
ass. Oh, I missed that. Okay.
Yeah, it was the end credits of Mandalorian.
Shot him as he walked in.
Yeah, he walked in and all of a sudden he gets up and it's like, oh my God, and he's scared.
My apologies.
Of Boba Fett.
My apologies.
Yeah, and then he dusts him. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Good. Thank you for the clarification.
There you are. So that should help you a bit.
look, it does. Because the whole time I thought effectively the show is past and present, and I was waiting for them to collide, and it just never did.
Okay, tell me about what we call, now call the flashbacter, which is him going, every time he goes into a bacta tank, it flashes back into fucking like this long That's not my term. I think the internet said that. I think the internet talked about that. I'm not sure. I think I heard it somewhere.
In that case, the internet's the best around.
But when he does that, I remember going, ooh, I don't know about this. But then I would see his flashback.
It got ham-fisted.
It got ham-fisted, but I would actually still go, I still want to see what happens in this flashback.
Sure. No, again, I would say the first three episodes, I think, is where we mostly get the
Tusken which you Raider need, which you story. Need.
Is better than what's happening current day.
Oh, really?
What's happening current day is just this weird, boring political machinations where Boba is just forgiving everybody and letting them join his team over and over again. I'm like, how does this gel with this apparently ruthless fucking mercenary that we've set up in all these other previous films or whatever and then does fuck all and dies, as you
well,
say, like
thing.
A bitch
he's a different man
to
now.
Han. Still, I'm like, okay.
It's more that that may
it's
not work.
We've got Fennec or Shand constantly going, just kill him in his ear. He's like, nah, we'll do this, we'll do that. Then we get to, I can't even name the Wookiee, who's pretty cool.
Oh, he's fucking cool. Yeah, that guy was
apparently he's a big feature in one
comics,
of the shows,
the comics.
The comics.
Him
the
and Boba Fett actually knew each other from the comics because they worked together as bounty hunters. So he is cool as fuck. When I saw him, I'm like, that motherfucker is scary as shit. That's mean Chewbacca and like mean ugly gonna fuck you up Chewbacca.
That was cool. I mean, I thought that sort of bringing together of allies and whatever else that was interesting enough. But just the back and forth and Jennifer Beals' stupid pub. And the Pikes.
Jennifer Beals' pub? Which one's that?
She had the long ear. The same as the...
Oh, that! I like that! Really? Ugh. No? Okay.
It was a lot of wheel spinning, a lot of talking, a lot of not doing much, a lot of, we'll just make this show of strength and not, and then gets attacked and there's... I mean, I have to say this, and I'm really sorry to say it.
Yeah.
The Robert Rodriguez-directed episodes are pretty poor.
Is that so? You don't like him?
The seventh episode, the last episode, which meant to be the big culmination, the big battle.
Yeah.
Some of the decisions that Rodriguez makes and how he shoots this thing, I'm like, what the fuck? How about the dude who just did a circle for no reason and shot?
I was so wondering if you were going to mention that. Here's the problem, okay?
It's terrible.
Everyone hates the Power Rangers. Everyone hates that fucking the mods. It is clever that they are mods and they're like, you know.
Do you know why you hate? One of the reasons you hate them is when they get on the speeder bikes and is it episode whatever they introduce it and do that chase? It looks so terrible.
Oh my God.
Who shot that fucking scene?
That scene. They were moving. I could walk past quicker than they were traveling. And it didn't look fast. This is the problem. And you know what? Those bikes that they use, which are all multicolored and supposedly.
It was Power Ranger. It was a good call.
Yeah. Those things are like fucking like shit looking. And the way that they move, they look unstable. It looks like these guys are about to fall off it. It's not like a speeder, which can supposedly zip across the sand. So it's a little bit shit looking. And also, they all seem like bitches. They all seem like a boy band.
The girl is the chick Natalie from the young version of... of Juliet Lewis from Yellow Jackets.
Oh, is that her?
Did you place her? Yeah. The one who has a slightly English accent.
So. I mean, she's lovely. But like, I would say that like the guy that you're talking about, the dude who whips around for no reason and fires, right? That's really shit. And the internet's made quite a thing of that. You say, oh my God, what's this guy doing? So that final, but that final battle, dude, that episode was fucking gangster. Other than that. Now, it was a little bit hard to see how, why are they shooting at the fucking, like at the drones? Which have a fucking shield.
Over and over and over.
Is the idea that when you shoot a shield, it weakens? Is that what it is? It weakens?
Well, it didn't show any signs of that. And yet, they must have fired 1,000 bullets of these shields in this scene.
I know exactly. It's such bullets. That was a bit crap. However, at the end of that episode, I had completely forgotten about the Rancor that he was gifted.
I have to admit, me too.
And then it turns out, I'm like, what? They're putting the Rancor? That is fucking the shit. If you're talking about fan service, not only are they in Tatooine Mos Eisley, they're showing you the Rancor. He can ride it. Fucking, that was great. It's a little bit of a problem, all right? I thought it was cool that you could see the Gamorrean guards actually being capable of fighting instead of just being Jedi fodder like they were in fucking Return of the Jedi. Those guys always fell off cliffs and got eaten by fucking Rancors.
That was a bit sad.
I know,
when the
it was
Gamorrean
sad.
Guards died.
I know. I was like, oh, those poor green guys. Like, I liked those, and they got pushed over a cliff. I was like, oh shit, that's nasty as well. But you know, that's kind of cool. So. I still liked it up to then.
I liked it, but I didn't love it at all, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I had a lot of problems with bits and pieces. So here are some of them.
Go on, please.
Look, I did track it down. Robert Rodriguez directed the shit-ass fucking chase scene as well. I just think Robert Rodriguez is gone.
Is he departing?
I think he has. He's departed.
He did the actual Boba Fett episode in The Mandalorian, which was good. That was actually a good fight, the first
thing. But arguably, like that seventh episode should have been incredible. It was passable.
There's some, if it's actually action choreography that's the problem.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether he had a bad use second unit director or he just did it himself and fucked it up.
Well, how many pikes can there be also? Like, there's every time they shoot one, another one just magically puts into the same place. I'm like, they've shot 150 of these things.
Yeah. There's no way that they all. And also, hardly any of them are getting capped. For once, I agree with you. It's like, well, you know.
It's getting old. Like, we're meant to be seeing the prowess of Boba Fett and the Mando in terms of what they're doing. And then, of course, what's his name? Chris Anthony or whatever he's fucking.
Yeah. Chris.
Comes back, and even the biker gang, as shit as they are, they're all bound together with the people of Freetown. And they're dispatching the pikes ruthlessly while they're shooting them. Mm. But they just keep coming and coming and coming. Like, why wouldn't they all just come at once and just overwhelm them?
There's a school of thought that because Mos Eisley or wherever they were has all of those buildings, it forms sort of like you can't just – as if it was a wide open plane, they would just all come like an army. But these are gangsters, remember.
But I'm pretty sure if you had 200 to 20 – you wouldn't just all pop up one at a time. Oh, he shot. Stand up. My turn.
Yeah. No, there's problems
it's
with the
badly put
together.
Problems
with the action.
It should have been so much better. Once the Rancor comes in, even those droids, the Scorpion droids, whatever they're called, they either move fast or slow depending on what the plot needs.
Absolutely.
And also, one scene they're miles behind. They can't, and they're like moving so slow. The next thing they're right. I'm like, what? This is badly edited.
Forget that, Paul. These droids, they seem to turn their turret like a tank slowly.
Until
they're droids, they can roll up and put it. They can just whip around, surely, right? No. For some reason, it takes forever and they miss a lot for droids. You know? I'm like,
once again, the Star Wars phenomenon.
So this is it. I will agree with you. There are problems with the action. That's why I'm not saying it's the perfect film. But we need to talk about this, okay?
Please.
Fucking Cobb Vanth, okay? Timothy Oliphant.
Never. Oh, Cobb, get shot. Yep.
His character, first of all, being basically Raylan Givens, or if you like, Bullock or whatever.
You and your Justified fans.
Even the bartender is actually the guy from Deadwood. The bartender in Deadwood with the beard.
Is he?
Yeah, that's him.
I didn't know that.
So, like, that was all cool. That's the most Western-y thing. Him being in it and still being Cobb Vanth, I'm like, this is the shit. I love that. He kicks over like a whole, you know, $1 trillion worth of spice or whatever. He's like, I'm cleaning up my town. Fuck yeah, Timothy Oliphant, Cobb Vanth. The other guy, the blue dude, what was his fucking name?
Cad Bane.
That motherfucker's scary. And that actually
great look really good. Love the wide-browed Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood.
Well, no, good it's bad, Clint the ugly. Yeah, what was his name? Eli Wallach. What was the third dude? Lee Van Cleef's big hat.
That's right. Yes. And the red eyes, they're actually scary. And the way they played that scene where Timothy Oliphant sees his eyes, like, what the fuck? All of a sudden, he's like, this is scary.
Great. I love that scene. That's cool, killed the stupid brash deputy as well. And then I thought, I've killed Cobb Vanth until the very end.
I was so glad they didn't kill him.
I'm like, come on. I get it. Star Wars never kills anyone. Fucking even Fennec coming back, Shand coming back. It's like,
but that was the idea behind that was like
I know he's seen here at the end of season two of The Mandalorian and stuff as well. But
so that's it, right? So, and that's why I think the reason I like this show is that the writers are working within the Lucasverse, showing you how rich it is. By expanding on things we're sort of already familiar with, like Tusken Raiders. And at one stage, like when they're rebuilding the Naboo fighter for like the Mandalorian.
God, they've focused on that for a long time.
Do you know what? That was a weird episode that I think was like filler or something. Because they were sitting there like showing them fixing a fucking thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's that about? And they bring
way too long.
But they brought, one of the parts they brought was that thing that Han Solo.
Well, it wasn't the speeder itself. Wasn't that based on Phantom Menace's
The Naboo
Jake
fighters.
Lloyd's, whatever his name, Anakin's.
Yep. It's exactly, and we're not sure if it is the exact one. But he at one stage to a part that the Jawas or whatever bring is that pole that, you know, in Star Wars when the walls were closing in on them and they put a pole up on it, it's that exact pole.
Really?
Yeah. So I was like, oh, see, shit like that they're putting on here is fucking cool, man. So that's why it's cool. This is what the sequels should have done. They should have taken all the cool shit and expanded on it in a movie and made it cool like this. So they're still doing a really good job given what they're going with, man.
Can I give a bit of a shout out to Bryce Dallas Howard, who directed episode 5.
Bryce Dallas is the shit.
Which is, I think, the best looking episode of the whole season.
This is the
the one where the Mando comes in.
Oh, yeah.
And that great sequence where he's fighting the other Mandalorian for possession of the Darksaber.
Yes.
On this sort of trellis, and then there's nothing beneath them. I love that whole introduction. Was great. Really, really,
really cool. Don't you think it's weird in Star Wars there are no guardrails anywhere? Yeah. Like, come on, man. But yeah, it's cool that he had the Darksaber.
Chance is having a fucking field day.
Can I say this? The Naboo fighter that Mando is now doing, because he the one got blown up in the fucking last season of The Mandalorian, that is a completely wrong vehicle for The Mandalorian. His other fucking like big ass thing. He you could live in that. That's basically a house. Okay, he could store people in it.
Was that the Razorback?
Yeah, it's cooking hole. Yeah, he could actually put fucking like all kinds of shit in there. He could hole up people in it. If he kidnapped someone because he's a bounty hunter, he could store them in there. This is a fighter jet.
Yeah,
it happens to have that R2-D2 hole for fucking Grogu.
Yeah, eventually. Right? Yep.
But like that's it. This is completely the wrong thing. Yes, it goes fast. That's it. It's a wrong thing for
him. Did it surprise you then when Grogu made the choice that he made? I guess on the one level it did, because I thought we were done with Grogu in the Mandalorian universe. I thought he's gone off now to be a Jedi. But then given what happens later in the Star Wars universe, because this is before the final trilogy,
we
see a much older Luke who's not talking about Grogu and whatever. It makes sense that Grogu chose not to be a Jedi, although he still has some connection to the Force, as we see in the final episode, and comes back to be effectively a Mandalorian. He takes the armor and
More importantly, the thing was that when it's like, oh, if Grogu's with Luke now and he's training him, does that mean Grogu is slaughtered by Kylo Ren when he kills everyone, right? And so yes, in order for him not to be that person, he has to fucking have made that choice. But here's the interesting thing. You've got Luke sitting there with Grogu saying, you can either take the chainmail or you can take this lightsaber. God knows how I got it. I suppose Yoda died in front of me. You could have given
Yoda's him. Lightsaber, right?
Yoda's lightsaber. Yoda's. Yeah. Choose. Now, this is the same choice that Yoda gave Luke in Empire, saying, hey, you got to finish your training, fucko. And he's like, my friends need me. And he's like, yo, make your choice.
Which way?
And Luke goes to his friends. And that makes him the Jedi he is. And that's why in Return of the Jedi, he comes back and completes his training.
Okay? Right, okay.
So this is an odd thing. Thing. Yeah, it's the odd thing. Oh, Jedis don't deal in absolutes.
We can cheat when we want to cheat. Look...
But it's like, I'm saying he's making this archaic choice again because he's still young Luke. Old Luke wouldn't have done that.
As much as I like that first episode, that first half of that Bryce Dallas Howard episode 5, when we get down to building the ship,
why was that so long?
We talked about, and then episode 6, which is when he goes. I think that's when he goes over to and he try. Is that the one where he tries to meet with? And Ahsoka, whatever her name is.
That is definitely the one where Raylan Givens comes in again.
Yes. Yep.
We see R2-D2. That was awesome.
Yeah, it is that one.
And that's where we see
Ahsoka. Ahsoka Tano says, no, you can't meet with him. God, that episode was shit.
Really?
We just spun our wheels and did nothing other than put Grogu back into contention.
I like that.
Other than, we had a great opening and we had a great end. But the middle part, I'm like, oh, for fuck's, this is not a Boba Fett show.
No, it definitely
this
wasn't.
Is the Book of Boba Fett. How many chapters have we had now without Boba Fett? Badly written. Boba Fett comes out of the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
Right. Now I'm going to start picking holes.
Yeah.
Sarlacc pit, knowing he's wearing his armor,
because
that's what saves him.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up in the Tusken Raiders encampment with his armor gone. Yeah, he thinks his armor's in the Sarlacc pit?
Yeah.
Dumb as fuck.
That's a total fuck up.
Like to create a great visual scene where the Sarlacc pit's still, Sarlacc's still alive and tries to eat the ship. Looks great. And Fennec then doing what she does to save them. Good scene, but completely plot-wise, dumb as fuck.
Mm. It was an absolute hole in the plot. Like, there was no two ways about
it. And there's a bunch of those, I have to say, like, through the course of this show. Like,
There is. Now,
it just wants to keep the wheels in motion. Don't think too much about it. But you can't have it both ways. You can't have it drawing the most, like you said, the most idiosyncratic little bits and pieces of the rest of Star Wars universe and hope you notice that, but don't notice these stupid plot holes.
Do you know what the problem you're having is, right? This actual reason for these two Mando episodes, right, is actually in service of the greater franchise and not this show or that character.
Well, then it shouldn't be called The Book of Boba
Fett. I agree, but this is what they're doing. They couldn't.
Or we should have had 4 episodes of The Book of Boba Fett. Stop, done, finished. We now know how he got to the throne.
Yep.
And then we should have had The Mandalorian season 2.5, whatever you want to call it, and The Book of Boba Fett happens to close both those chapters. I don't know. Like, there was a
they should have called this Tales
this.
Of the Mandalorian and then had all these separate characters, something like that, right?
Even that would have worked.
But well, this is the thing, though. They can't
start... can't have 7 episodes and only 4.5 of them centered on your major character.
Yeah. And that's why you don't like this, because this smacks of actual forward planning. Like, if someone has made the decision that we can't start Mandalorian season 3 with no Grogu, we don't want to waste 2 episodes trying to get him back. That's what this is about. We'll just stick it into the Book of Boba Fett, and yes, it does not work. So I'm totally like, I understand.
And you can't love this show because of that. Like, unless you're such a Star Wars fan person that you're like, oh, I give a shit about it. Okay, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. But as storytelling goes, this is clunky
awkward. I'll go along with that.
And it doesn't really work when you really... But is it entertaining at times? Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's it. I'm thinking the moments gave it like that. Luke looks so good in this one.
Luke looked great.
Compared to the other one.
Special effects are excellent. You know what sounded weird to me? The voice. The voice sounded off. Like they've tried to youngify his voice and it was just weird.
I figured like someone, they actually didn't use his voice. Like they tried.
Someone copying.
There's some like algorithm that they can use which done that.
Yeah. And that felt more artificial to me than how he looked.
Do you know why? Because as you've said in the past, with CGI like this or youngification or whatever, it's hard to do the mouth, right? When they're talking. So whoever's giving the line is purposefully not giving it that much intonation,
right?
So that the character doesn't have to shout his voice or whatever, or screw his face up. Yep. That's what I think.
But
it happening.
Took me out because I'm constantly going, that doesn't sound like Luke. Doesn't sound anything like Luke.
Oh no, it's yeah, exactly.
They've done something weird here, but I thought it looked great.
It looked amazing, really good.
Hats off there.
How did Marvel manage to do this so well?
But we didn't notice much it. Smaller amounts. No, I think they shot it much more clearly.
Sam Jackson in Captain Marvel is the whole movie.
Well, he's better, but do you remember how bad Clark Gregg looked in that film? Like, they sunk all their money into that side of it.
I don't actually. I got to look into it.
It wasn't good.
Okay.
And look, I also think it's that emotional moment when Grogu and
That was emotional. When he reaches out because he sees Mando leaving, that fucking broke my heart.
Oh,
man.
But even when he leaps into his arms when they're reintroduced on the chase scene, I'm cute. Like, oh, that was so.
So awesome. You liked that?
Yes.
I thought you'd be like, fuck you guys. Cold heart. That was cool. So
I like the fact that Grogu still uses his connection to the Force, if you want to call them Jedi powers, and he puts the Rancor to sleep.
And then goes to sleep next to him.
Pulls the, because it exhausted him. Pulled the screw out of the droid and it fell over before it could kill Mando.
And then
that part was cool.
But him sleeping next to the thing is the cutest fucking thing ever after doing it.
One final
Grogu's amazing.
From the very, very end version of the show. I would have really liked to have seen a final, I can't believe we didn't have time for this, a final scene where Boba Fett and Mando kind of acknowledge each other and say goodbye. The Gamorrean guards are dead. The shithouse Power Ranger bikers are involved. Fennec's obviously still working with Boba. He's considering whether he wants to still keep doing this now.
Mm-hmm.
And we just cut to Mando and Grogu flying off into the space. I'm like, that felt weird.
Really? I think I was looking so forward to saying, so where are you guys going now? And to see that.
But don't you agree it's a weird moment not to have?
Like, probably, but there's always...
Bit of a clasp of hands, bit of a, you know, elbow knock, whatever it might be.
Call me an elbow knock.
Yep.
I suppose. It only means that they're going to obviously cross each other's paths again. But just quick little hits, though.
Please.
The bomb at the nightclub, fucking Untouchables, man. Mister, you
forgot
your...
Saw it coming a mile away.
But I didn't expect for that girl to just die like that. I was like, that was quite a big...
I mean, Jennifer Beals had been in like 4 scenes and had like 7 lines. So
still, what a feeling.
Not a big lot.
Oh, the flash dance. Jesus. Inexpensive humor. There you go. I mean...
All right, shall we wrap this one up? Overall, for me...
Yeah.
It's a fine show. It's not great. There's too many holes. There's too many awkward moments to this show where they just try just barrel forward because we want to get to set up Mandalorian season 3. I see the comments about it being Mando season 2.5, mm-hmm. and it does mm-hmm. feel like that, if I'm really honest. I don't think Temuera Morrison is a believable enough big-ass bad guy to command the deference that he does.
So you're saying, because I'm interested in this as well, right? Because the idea he's like, you know, he's being Temuera Morrison and he's like, he's sort of a biggish old guy. And he's probably in good shape for a guy his age, but he doesn't look like someone who could probably kick your ass.
No.
At all.
No, I wouldn't say this to his face. But my point is, could he command the presence that someone say, take him? Again, the Mandalorian seems more intimidating and threatening to me because A, he never takes his fucking helmet off.
Yes, and also virtually. This guy is moving like a man his age.
Exactly.
As opposed to
once again, we're back in the Irishman territory.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. Good point. Let me ask you this though. End of the movie where Cobb Vanth is about to drill him and he's on the floor. He's got, so the Mando's on the floor.
No, Cad Bane,
Cad Bane, right? He's stepping over him. He's pointing the gun at his face. The way that Boba Fett gets out of this is at the last moment when the trigger's pulled, he
knocks it.
He jostles so that his armor takes the hit, and then he pulls his gaffy stick from behind him, whips it around, and knocks Cad Bane out, and then sticks him. That was kind of cool because he almost... I thought that wasn't too bad.
Apparently he's a big character in the Clone Wars and Rebels and whatever
else. Actually a fight
which I've never watched, so...
The cool thing about Cad Bane is he actually hunts Jedis.
Right.
Like, he's so... And all he's got is guns. But he's so good, he hunts Jedis. And actually, there's a Clone Wars episode where I think it's Anakin and fucking Obi-Wan take him on. And he fucking almost takes them out. It's really good.
Okay.
So,
I don't watch that show. So
yeah.
Look, so we should mention the theme, which has been on heavy rotation. That Yeah, I'm not going to do it.
Only you know it, man. I don't know what the fuck it is.
The very end of the show, the overplay play over the end credits. And okay. Then did you notice in the episode 7, before we do get to the mid-credit sequence, which is showing that Cab Vanth is
alive.
Vanth is alive. Cop alive. Vanth, yeah. We see it's now going, instead of going,
I thought they were always saying
Fett. No, it was only the last episode.
Oh.
They changed it up for that.
Okay.
I pretty would funny. Not
have, yeah. I've that, seen that,
gets, that get absolutely piled on online. People going, oh, that's fucking ridiculous. This is silly. I found it very amusing.
I thought it was good. I'd put Fett up in
my there. My overall score is 59 for The Book of Boba Fett. Too many plot contrivances, too many weird decisions, too many bad directorial choices, particularly from Rodriguez. I'm sorry to say, De Palma'd, I think you're right. 59 for me.
Okay. My two-word review is net positive. Okay. Yes, it had its problems, but I had a good time with this, so it gets 70. 70, bro.
Very positive. I would play the... I don't think we're that big a difference for the Negatron theme to come out, so...
No, good, because it's shit. So...
You can't handle the truth!
All right, well, thank you very much for listening to our very... I don't know how long it's
been. I like talking about Star Wars, man. I remember one time talking to my cousin, right? We were sitting there talking about Star Wars for like 2 hours. We were young, we had time. And... He was like, man, I love
46.
I love talking about Star Wars. Like, yeah, I love talking about Star Wars too. That's why this shit is the shit. Keep the magic alive, people. Keep it alive.
There we are. Wayne's very passionate in plea for you all. And you can let us know what you think about the show at our website, thecountdownpodcast.com, and all the links that are there to our various socials and ways to contact us, including Patreon, our Gmail, our... What else? Merch store. It's all there for you. And get involved in the conversation directly at our Facebook group, The Countdown Podcast Listener Community, which you can check out by searching that on Facebook.
Nice one.
All right, that's it from us today. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
All of your arguments are like my asshole, man.
When it comes to Star Wars being bad. We'll catch you next time. See ya.
Yeah.